You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pretty much. That's kind of how I'm feeling. It's I'm in my feelings. There's no way to replace a guy like this. There is Matthew Stafford on the other side of the ball, but my goodness, Andy, this was, maybe that's why I'm a little more shocked than you are, that this is hitting me in a slightly different way.
You know, Chris was so focused on making fun of you in that spot. He missed the obvious. It is a final. Like, you'd think that's where he'd go right from the jump.
Oh, man. What I mean, it is,
oh my God,
it is something else that when, like, look, let's use another player in this city as somebody that we know is very near the end of the line. That's a legend that has accomplished everything there is to accomplish in this game. Clayton Kershaw. If Clayton Kershaw this morning said, you know what? Upon further reflection, I've decided I'm done playing Major League Baseball. I'd be bummed out, but he'd be like, yeah, okay, I get it. This was not that. Like, this would be like Clayton Kershaw, you know, winning 19 games and having an ERA of 1.8 and saying, I'm done. That's where Aaron Donald is in his football equivalency. It caught me by an unbelievable amount of surprise.
It is rare when you see guys go off in the sunset. Maybe it wasn't perfect like John Elway. He left after a second straight Super Bowl. But Aaron Donald, in terms of his own level of play, went out as high as you can go. And it's rare to see guys actually be willing to leave something on the table. And I always think it's actually pretty cool when they do.
Well, to give you an idea of what is on the table, this is Aaron Donald's 10-year career. And this isn't all of it, but this is the part that I love looking at. Aaron Donald's rookie year, he won the Defensive Rookie of the Year. In his second season, he was second in Defensive Player of the Year. Then fourth, then first, first again, fifth, first again, third, and ninth. That was his career. And one season in 2022, remember, there's the only time in his career where he missed time in the Rams 5-12 season where all he did was make the Pro Bowl. That's it.
Slacker year.
But with half of a season under his belt. That there wasn't a season, his worst season in the NFL, taking the injury compromise season off the table, was finishing ninth in Defensive Player of the Year award. That was the low point. And that's when he decided, you know what? I've had enough. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm looking right now at the voting shares for Defensive Rookie of the Year. He finished ahead of C.J. Mosley.
Sure.
Khalil Mack.
Okay, at least Mack's a really good player.
And Chris Borland.
Sure.
But he got 50% of the share of the voting that year. Pretty dominating and deserving.
And why? I think it's important. I mean, I know that he probably... He might have considered this, but I think why it's better now than it was maybe last year, the year before that he retired, is that it won't cause a panic. So I feel like if he retired last year after a terrible season, or if he retired after the Super Bowl, it would almost have caused a panic of like, where are we going? Where are we going? What's going to happen? But right now, it's almost as if he knows that the team's in good hands and that it's a good time for him to walk away because he has Kobe Turner who can come up and kind of come behind him, and he knows that they won't crumble without him. Though it doesn't really matter to Aaron. It shouldn't matter to Aaron. He served them well, but I think it is a better thing for the team that it happened this year, not last year.
It's a really interesting way to look at it because I agree. I agree with the premise that this had Aaron Donald pulled the ripcord at the end of a 5-12 season. Matthew Stafford missed most of the year. The team was in, Sean McVay was teetering on whether or not he wanted to come back. It could be, oh my goodness, what in the world is next for this group? that obviously is not the vibe in the building. Sean McVay is entrenched as the head coach, seems, you know, healthy and fully committed to being the coach for a long period of time. Matthew Stafford just put up one of his better seasons. You've got a player like Kyren Williams. Puka's in the house. Like, we're good. Almost all those things we mentioned are on that side of the ball. That while Aaron Donald leaving does not leave you in an existential dread the way it may have a year ago, on that side of the ball, you got nothing but questions, because you're right, Kobe Turner had a really good year, but here's one of the great questions surrounding this Rams team and every Rams defensive player that has been there in the last 10 years. Yeah, that guy's good, but how much of that has to do with the fact that Aaron Donald is sucking up all of the oxygen from the other team's attention, that you got to block 99, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and then we'll worry about Kobe Turner? Well, Kobe Turner might be number one on the call sheet now. Now how good of a player is he? We're going to get an answer to that question. I don't know if anybody's going
to
love it.
Well, this, in a lot of ways, though, to what Emily was talking about before, like feeling like it's okay to do this, to some degree, there's going to be big questions no matter when Aaron Donald leaves, even if he leaves what otherwise was an elite defense. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it will radically change. I don't care who else is a part of that 11 personnel. It's going to change the minute he leaves. So you might as well do it on your own terms anyway.
And like, with the new defensive coordinator. And again, all these things are going to change. And
a first-time defensive coordinator, too. Let's put that in there.
probably was banking on Aaron Donald to bail him out a little bit. Yeah,
Chris Shula has been with the Rams for a long time, but he was just elevated to that that position of defensive coordinator when Raheem Morris leaves. And you know, Raheem Morris was incredibly well-liked, incredibly well-respected, an incredibly accomplished coach, was not trying to make his way in this league. Raheem Morris had made his way in this league. Chris Shula is a first-time DC, and the greatest defensive player of all time, arguably, just said, you know what? Nah. That puts him in a really tough spot.
But the Rams also have money to spend. And maybe someone will shake free they don't know about. Maybe they will draft someone as a replacement for Aaron Donald. I don't know if you can do that. But maybe they have more flexibility to make a big swing. And I trust that Les Snead and that organization will do that.
Well, I think with that in mind, Em, is that and we'll talk with Jordan Rodriguez coming in. And she's going to join us here in a few minutes. Aaron Donald did not drop this on the Rams this morning, that this is something that he had informed the Rams that this is what was going to be his decision at the beginning of free agency. So they've been able to properly, you know, prepare themselves for what comes next, at least for a week or two.
Yeah, I was just looking to see if Chris Shula was on Twitter. Like, he has not tweeted anything on his own in about 10 years, so I wouldn't read into the idea that he has not sent out a, hey, congratulations on a great career, Aaron Donald. So happy for you. But it'll be telling if he decides, okay, I'm going to break my Twitter silence because I'm happy for Donald, or it's like, screw you, man.
And I think to what Em's getting at, too, is that Aaron Donald did not leave them in the lurch with just – because, look, not everybody would handle it like this. That we have seen some sudden retirements before where the team's looking around like, yeah, no, we had no – the Lions didn't know Barry Sanders was going to pull a ripcord, right? And sometimes guys just leave. Calvin Johnson, you know, another one that it just
– A lot of Lions.
I wonder if it's a coincidence. that he left them as prepared for a decision like this as I think you possibly could, short of the day after the regular season ends. You say, okay, I'm out of here, and that gives you a little additional time, but there are financial considerations and everything else. I think he's done right by the Rams.
Absolutely. I mean, again, at some point, he's going to say, I'm done playing. And by definition, when he does that, everything changes. Like, he's too great of a player for you to be. It's similar to, you know this, because you're a parent. I'm a parent. I don't care how much you mentally prepare yourself for being a parent. The minute it happens, you realize, I had no idea what to expect. Like, none.
Best line I've ever heard describing that, and I think I've said this before, that before we had our first child, we have three at this point, John Feinstein, the author, name drop, right, called me on the phone, and he said, hey, I know you're getting ready to have me. He goes, somebody told me this, and I wanted to share this with you. Being a parent is 1,000 times harder than you think it's going to be, and it's a million times more enjoyable than you think it's going to be. And that's the only thing that's even close to what you think. You're like, oh, I'm not going to get any sleep. And that doesn't even scratch the surface of it.
The good thing about babies is like 95% of it is pretty self-evident.
Yeah.
Like it's hard. It's mentally and physically taxing, but most of it's pretty easy to figure out on your own.
Two big things happened this offseason, at least so far for the Rams, that are things this team has been very, not static, but has reached stasis with its big leadership positions over the past couple of years. But this year, they have lost Raheem Morris, which we talk about the brain drain with the Rams organization, but he is a huge member of the organization that might be difficult to replace, and you lose Aaron Donald. That is a huge two leadership voids that will be open.
On both sides of the ball. And I know that their leadership transcends just defense, right? But because when Raheem Morris left, everybody talks about that he, in the entire building was like, they loved Raheem. It wasn't just his defensive players. And that Aaron Donald's physicality and his presence transcends just his side of the ball. It goes everywhere. However, both of those guys were on the defensive side of the ball. So I think it hits even harder over there. It hits hard across the organization, but it hits especially hard for the defensive side of the room.
But they also kind of knew both were coming at some point. They had to have reasons to think that they could replace these two because, you know, Aaron Donald was going to retire probably, if not right now, in the next 2 years, but Raheem was also going to get a job.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that their departure still doesn't just smack you, right? That you can be prepared for a lot of things and get, but when it happens, it's like,
it goes from a theoretical to a reality.
Yeah. It's going to be impossible to replace him.
He'll
put somebody in that spot. Somebody will line up in that spot, but
I mean, honestly, the goal should not be replacing Aaron Donald because you can't. It's what do we do from here to maintain a good defense?
We'll talk with that, or about that, I should say, with Jordan Rodriguez. She, of course, covers the Rams for The Athletic. That's next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Third down and six. Jared Goff to throw from it. Pressure from his right. He stumbles. He trips. He's sacked! Back at the 35-yard line. Jared barrel rolls ahead for three more yards. They did not mark him down until he was touched there. It still should be a sack. Minus one, maybe instead of minus four. But either way, the punt team coming on for Detroit. The L.A. defense does its job again. They puncture the pocket.
He
tripped over left tackle Taylor Decker on his way out to Aaron Donald's side.
Aaron Donald, of course, credited with the sack on that play. That will be the final sack of Aaron Donald's career, pending a return, which we will discuss here in just a second. Aaron Donald announcing his retirement earlier this morning. All breaking news on 710, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Joining us right now is Jordan Rodriguez. She, of course, covers the Los Angeles Rams for The Athletic. Jordan, thanks for making some time for us today. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you so much for having me. Obviously, there's a lot of big feelings in Los Angeles today from this news.
Yeah, let's start with my biggest feeling. I was shocked to find out that Aaron Donald was calling it a career after 10 years. How did the news hit you? Did you think that this was on the table at least, or did it catch you by surprise?
I did think it was on the table. For me, I thought it was a really significant amount of money to walk away from. But obviously with Aaron at this point in his career, there are so many more important things than that money and then money in general after having accomplished so much. And, I did think it was on the table. You know, he did say he wanted to roll back with this group, and obviously back in 2022 when he signed the extension, it did and does still run through 2024. But 10 years is, I think, a really musical note to end a career on. And I started hearing whispers about teams posturing, trying to figure out like how much money other teams had to spend and, you know, what strategies were going to be. And when I was at the combine a couple weeks ago, I was sort of lurking around on the ground, as I do, and was hearing whispers that this was certainly a question that people who were, trying to figure out what the Rams' strategy was going to be had, and a very real question that the Rams were not able to answer at that time. So heading into free agency, they knew that this was going to happen as they kind of solidified their plans for free agency, and that's when the contract restructure happened. I know I'm rambling here, but it's a big momentous day for Los Angeles and for one of the greatest of all time. And it just, to me, I think a lot of people are still processing and fairly so, but it's one of those things where you pre-write the story because you know that it could happen. Mm. You just hope that you can put off publishing it a little bit, you know?
You mentioned, Jordan, how this is something that you thought could be a possibility. What do you think ultimately pushed it over the top for Donald?
I just think, I mean, again, 10 years is a musical note to end on with his health, with his family growing the way that it is, with everything accomplished that he has to accomplish. I think there are a lot of the consideration. I think a lot of people wanted to make that 2021 Super Bowl 2022 consideration of retirement into a conversation about his contract. And that's all, a lot of that's on the outside because that was real. He really did consider walking away at that time. So every year after, you wonder, is this going to be the year? Is this going to be the year? Regardless of what the structure of his deal looked like. And you just saw him every day at practice. He just seemed like he was just enjoying every second of it. Like, it really felt like he was soaking things in. And in 2022, he didn't finish the season. He missed games for the first time in his career. There was no way that he was going to end on a sour note like that. He's never missed time due to injury in his career before that. There was no way he was going to end on that note. And so I think a lot of factors come into play here for Aaron. And I think knowing that he has done anything and everything there is to do in this league and done some of those things multiple times, and his family and the kind of growing sense of peace, of making peace with the sport he sort of has mastered. I think all of those things have been a really serious conversation he's had with his family over the last couple of years.
Jordan Rodriguez, she covers the Los Angeles Rams for The Athletic, joining us here on Travis and Slewa discussing Aaron Donald's retirement announcement earlier this morning. So obviously, Jordan, there's Aaron Donald's production, Aaron Donald's ability to be a game wrecker, his ability to just change everything on the football field, and that's going to be incredibly difficult to replace, no doubt. But what about the other stuff, the leadership, the heart, the soul, the heartbeat of this team, really, since it's come back to Los Angeles, and certainly the core of its toughness, it's an identity on the defensive side, not but from a tactical standpoint, but more from an emotional one. Where do they turn next?
Yeah, and you'll have to forgive me. I might my voice might break a little bit when I'm talking about this, because what you've said is so important and so real about what he has meant to that locker room. I think, number one, first and foremost, I want to say, like, he just showed up for people.
Mm-hmm.
He showed up for his teammates. He showed up even when the offensive linemen on his own team were praying that he wouldn't show up for work that day, so that they could get a real practice in. He showed up, and he showed up for his coaches. He showed up for young people on that roster. He showed up for old people on that roster. He showed up for reporters. He helped us do our jobs. He showed up on game day is what most people saw, but if you were in the same building as Aaron Donald at any point, you are giving it every single thing you've got and then some, because you know he's doing the same. And that stands for every person I just mentioned, including myself as a beat reporter. You show up and you know your stuff because he's going to bring it. And I think that that is so important, and I don't think that's replaceable. And I know they're going to try, and they're not done building, and it's just like 3 days into free agency, and everyone's losing their minds. I understand that. You don't replace that. You never will. But you can try to find new ways to lead on that team. Kobe Turner is finding new ways to lead on that team as a young player who is beyond his years. Ernest Jones is like a 40-year-old man inside a 24-year-old body. So he fits right in with this group. And he is an emotional leader and a leader on the field. They're going to have to find new ways, new people who have already been growing, who Aaron has encouraged to grow over his time. They will need to step in. And from an on-the-field standpoint, you're not replacing him. You're just not.
This might be a difficult either or, but I'm hearing you talk about this, Jordan. It just popped in my head. If you had to pick which will be felt more, the absence in the locker room and sort of in the franchise or the absence on the field, what do you think it would be?
Oh, both. I mean, you can't pick because I think that's a great question.
I'm asking you to pick, Jordan. I'm actually demanding that you pick.
Sorry, oh my God.
That's how it works around here. I ask questions, you answer them, Jordan.
So at least you're not asking me about your fantasy football team. I appreciate that.
That's Brian. That's Brian who peppers you for that info.
If I personally am going to pick one, I'm going to pick the leadership, because that's what I saw right up there every single day. If I'm going to pick something that I think makes more logical sense at this point in time and where the Rams are at as a team, I'm going to go ahead and say, the schematic stuff, the on-the-field stuff, that's a really big conversation and a big question, because they're going to miss his production, obviously. But the way that they could play defense with him on the field, I mean, it's like you could play these light fronts and these odd fronts, and you could gap in a half, and you didn't have to worry about stuff, and you could run any coverage structure you wanted behind all of that, because you knew that the work was going to get done up front. You could load up into dime and penny and all of these different things and load up as many DBs on the field as you could, because you knew that even if you only had three down linemen or two in some cases, one of them was Aaron. And you could do anything you wanted with your front structures and your coverage structures because of he's a cheat code. So that's a huge conversation, because it's not just the production, but it's also what are your front structures going to look like now? Because that will affect every single thing about how you're going to play defense moving forward. And it's also that feeling of, it's third down. Who's going to be the guy next? In the Super Bowl, Sean McVay is over there on the sideline and he's muttering to himself in his headset. And he's like, Aaron's going to make a play right here. And it's not like he was even willing it or manifesting it. It was just a known thing. So who's going to be that guy? Who's going to be that player who can, have a tackle for loss on the third and one, set up a shotgun snap for Joe Burrow on fourth and one, and then sack Joe Burrow and win the Super Bowl? Who's going to be that guy? That's the thing that I think is a big conversation, and it's good questions, and I still didn't answer your question, so you see how I did that.
Well, Jordan, it's fine. I owe you a retraction, a correction anyway. In my bullying of you, I came to realize I also was peppering you for fantasy football advice. It wasn't just Brian. I want to make sure everybody listening knows Jordan helped advise us both.
I appreciate that,
Jordan, so this question will probably only be asked about 950,000 times between now and the time that they don't record a sack on the opening play between at the beginning of the season. Any chance he comes back? Any chance that he changes his mind, whether it's in the short term, medium term, or long term?
I will say, a player like him, if walking away at, still in great shape, healthy, I would never say never, because one thing I learned, especially about this group, and I learned this a couple years ago when Sean McVay was considering walking away, you got to miss it a little bit, and you got to give people time to miss it. And I have no doubt that he's at peace with his decision. I have no doubt that it was a family decision. I have no doubt that, he, for himself and where he's at mentally, in terms of how much he's accomplished and what his family is growing and all of those things, and wanting to be healthy for them. Like, I get that. And I think he's at peace with that. But he's going to miss it. You know he's going to miss it. And one thing I kept hearing when Sean, you know, did decide to come back is we just got to give him a little time to miss it. Give someone who's gone through everything, you know, gotten to the mountaintop, then crashed, then gotten back up, give them some time to miss the thing that they feel that they are, you know, on the earth to do. And we'll see what happens after that.
Jordan Rodrigue covers the Rams for The Athletic. Appreciate your time today, Jordan. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Take care.
You got it. I want to come back and talk about what she said. I wrote it down. Like, he enjoys every second of practice. That resonates with me on the will he come back? Will he change, have that change of heart? We'll get into that about 11:45 or so. Factor Cap is coming up next. It's Travis Lee, and he's in for Slee on 710 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, I know that the majority of the shows today will be covering almost exclusively what happened with Aaron Donald and his retirement. And so I wanted to give us a little bit of a break from that for Factor Cap. Our Factor Caps do not include any Aaron Donald questions, but I will play the sound one more time.
Oh my God!
Oh my God! Juwan Howard, it was announced that he was fired from Michigan as head coach just now. So he has been fired. He will no longer be the head coach. Obviously, we know that Juwan Howard had reached his heights, or at least one of the things he's most known for was his time at Michigan as a player. So it got me thinking, and this might also have to do with Aaron Donald, I guess, a little bit. But sometimes you reach your height, you leave that place, you go do other things. The return to that height isn't always what is cracked up to be. It might cloud what you did with them. So once you leave, you should never return to where you had your highest heights. Travis, Fetcher Cap.
I think it's Cap. I think it's risky, but if you've got a little bit left in the tank and you... Here's the thing, and I'm not going to make it about Aaron Donald specifically, but athletes...
We're not allowed to say his name.
Generally speaking, it's hard for regular folks like us to think how they're wired. They're just wired so differently than the average person that they believe they can do a thing they almost always can't. And if they believe that they can go back to the spot and get to that height again, sometimes they can. And they've bet on themselves so often for so long that if they want to do it one more time, I get it. I would have a really hard... I'd be on the opposite end of this. I would be the guy that I'd say, dude, you got to go. Right? You can't stay here anymore. You're not any good anymore. I could never leave the way that an Aaron Donald or a Barry Sanders leaves with so much talent still in them.
Berg?
Yeah, it's Cap. I mean, Jim Harbaugh did it in Michigan, just won a national championship. So I think there's... You can't...
Did he have as high as heights with Michigan as a player? I don't know.
Like, I mean, he became an NFL starting quarterback.
Sure.
Like, he was a very good quarterback. Then he went back to his roots.
A little different when it's player-coach thing. But I hear you.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I do.
He went back to his alma mater, and he won at the highest possible level. So it can happen. It doesn't happen all the time. Most of the time, it's like, stop bringing in the Michigan guy.
Was a great coach, and they hired him, but he was a great player, turned out to not be the best coach.
So he was, I mean, at the beginning, he was a good coach, got him back to where did they make it to the Final Four? I don't remember exactly.
Yes,
they did. So he was getting there, it kind of fell apart. And so I think it doesn't happen a lot, but it can happen.
Andy?
I think it depends on, are you bringing back that guy because of his association with whatever, or would this person be qualified anyway, be a great choice anyway, and the association is the bonus? Like, you know, what people talk about with the Lakers all the time, like coaching the Lakers or whatever. Like, you want to bring in somebody that understands what it means to be a Laker? No, that doesn't matter. Like,
you know who's pretty good? Phil Jackson.
Right. Not a Laker. Yeah.
It is not that complicated to understand, especially if you've been in the league before. Like, obviously, it will be a little bit different once you're in it. But the bottom line is, if you've been around the NBA, you understand The Lakers is higher scrutiny. That's just what it is. You need to bring in somebody that can coach, and if they happen to have ties to the Lakers, great. But you can find guys who've been brought in with those ties, and it hasn't worked out at all.
All right, so yesterday I watched the ending of the... He told me to skip him, so I'm going to skip him.
What's up with that, bro?
Okay, come on, answer the question, Cody.
Smack it.
Smack the mic. It's good for content. There you go.
I was going to go cap anyway, so it wasn't any different from you guys. I feel like...
Why are you being shy?
No, I'm not being shy. Just everyone's made the point.
Sound good, bro.
Okay.
All right, so yesterday I finished the finale of the reunion of Love is Blind, and it just gets me thinking. So these people go on the show, and you know, the hope of finding love, quote unquote, but also the hope of getting famous and getting brand deals and being social media famous is also at a cost of you might face the wrath of fans of the show making their mind up about you, and then you also have to, like, maybe in a reunion, revisit the people that you have a bad interaction with and have arguments on camera. You have a lot of things that you both take and get from doing a reality show. So my statement is, considering you would go on a reality show, live in a world that you would go on a reality show, okay? And that you also know that you would make a lot of money from this. You would make, you know, get quote-unquote famous from it. You think that you would have the fortitude to do a reality TV show. Again, considering that you would have a lot of blowback potentially. Berg, fact or cap?
I take a lot of blowback daily around this place on every single possible show and from every single possible person in this building. I can handle a little blowback from social media and actually get it on the YouTube constantly. You can just ask them.
What's their number one criticism?
I don't know. It changes every day.
There's so much to choose from.
Like if we were doing a top, say, 60, what would be?
I mean, when you have a whole buffet of things you don't like, why narrow it down to just one?
But basically, I'm saying I can handle any scrutiny from social media, from people, whatever. It's not a big deal to me at all. So yeah, I can handle a reality show.
Andy,
okay, for me, the answer is cap. Not because I can't handle the criticism or scrutiny. Like Greg says, if you are in this industry, front facing at all, you get it all the time. That's part of the deal. It's just not worth it to me for a reality show. Like, I'm not going to put up with all of that stuff so I can be on, like, Love is Blind or Big Brother or whatever. Like,
you're married.
That's an awful life to be putting up with that crap for. If you find me a different setting to put up with it all, take me there.
How about Amazing Race? Would you do the Amazing Race?
No, I just want to be a wheel man. I want to be a wheel man.
You want to be in a bank heist? Bank heist reality show.
Look, I'm torn between, I don't want to be a part of violent crime, and to some degree that's what bank robbery is, but I want to be a wheel man so badly.
You just want to drive.
I want to be a wheel man.
That'd be fun.
Travis?
I think it's cap for, what's the question? You think you'd have trouble with 40? I have the fortitude to do it because I'm not, like Andy said, if you do anything that requires you to put yourself out there publicly, you're willing to accept the criticism that comes along with it. That's just par for the course here. I would have a hard time doing a reality TV show because of my complete and utter disinterest in the format. You know what I mean? That just this idea, I don't believe a single thing that any of these people say on any of the shows. The entire thing is performative. And that's boring to me. So I would lack the ability to fake it every day on a reality show rather than, hey, you suck or you're stupid or you're fat or you're ugly or whatever it is. Like that, I can roll with that. But pretending to get in an argument with somebody over the peanut butter jar, I have no time for that.
So you're telling me there's not going to be Keeping Up with the Rogers anytime?
Are you talking about Puck and Pedro on the real
exactly
world?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Thank you, Andy.
Wow.
Thank you.
I told you about my encounter with Puck, right?
No. Oh, yes, you have. But you should tell it again.
Okay, for those who don't, Puck,
San Francisco real
yes,
world.
Puck from San Francisco, really brazenly obnoxious guy, like in your face all the time, and he would refer to himself as the Puck. He always referred to himself as the Puck.
What the Puck?
I was at the Formosa in like West Hollywood, and I had been drinking a lot, and I saw Puck there. And I look over, like, oh my God, it's the Puck. And he goes, yeah, Puck. I'm like, no, man, you don't understand. It's the Puck. The Puck,
Puck
is here. And he's like, yeah, all right, man. And he still, at this point, didn't seem to get what I was getting at. Like, he thought I was a fan. I'm like, no, bro, you don't understand. The puck is here. Like, if he had hauled off and smacked me, it would have been 100% deserved. Like, all.
And he was messing with Pedro's peanut butter. Bad guy.
Yeah, he did. He stuck his fingers right in there.
Bad guy.
Cody, what do you think about this?
I'm going to go fact. Online criticism, give me that straight cash, homie. I don't really know. There you go. Sweet, no, you can say whatever you want.
All right. Last one I got for you guys. So today is March 15th. It is an important day in history. It is the Ides of March. So my statement is, you beware the Ides of March. Andy, Federer Cap.
I mean, I've always been aware of them because I grew up doing a lot of theater and Shakespeare and stuff like
but
that.
But do you beware of them?
I do not beware. I be aware of them. I do not be wary of them. No.
All right, Travis.
What is the Ides of March?
Same.
It's when Julius Caesar was killed. It was on the Ides of March. Come on, Travis. You're a well-read man.
I know.
The Ides of March, and then he got stabbed by 18 people or whatever it is.
The murder of Julius Caesar covered it. I didn't know that's what that was called. But as an educated man, Emily, I'm comfortable enough in my own skin to when I don't know someone said, tell me what that is. Now I know. I do not beware of them either. I don't give Julius Caesar a lot of my mental equity on a given day. So no.
All right, Greg, do you beware?
It's Cap. I do not beware the Ides of March. And did you know I did actually a game of games on March and the Ides of March earlier this month? You know there's like a cat sanctuary on that spot now? That's where
Caesar got knifed?
Yeah, where Caesar got knifed. There's like a cat sanctuary.
Yeah.
That's what it is
Well,
now.
There's cats all over that area. So
it's like a no-kill cats shelter.
Yeah.
That's what's there now.
Well, good.
It's very, very strange, but
was,
you know.
There was also a movie with Ryan Gosling and George Clooney in 2007. Cody?
Political theory.
Cap, I do not beware the Ides of the March, but I'm not even sure what that is. So
Cody. Bewaring because it is always a tricky day. So beware the Ides of March, everyone out there.
Somebody that you consider close to you may knife you. Brutus.
A2 Brute.
Right.
You know, I'm right here sitting right behind you.
You heard put that, a rear view mirror over your board so you can see if
every
Emily's
one
coming.
Of us would have to go and stab him in the back as we by.
A2 Brute.
I just looked it up. It is unknown through history whether or not Julius Caesar had a cat or liked cats.
It's a good Google. That was a good Google search. Yeah. I actually appreciate Google that Google search.
What did you type
good question.
In?
Yeah. Did Julius Caesar like cats? Straight to the point.
That's tremendous.
That's fantastic.
All right. Aaron Donald enjoying every second of practice. That's what Jordan Rodriguez said a few minutes ago, which is why I'm so surprised that we are where we are, where he's no longer an NFL player. I'll explain next. It's Travis Slee, and he's in for Slee on 710 ESPN. Andy, when we're done here today, you should go down to the garage with me and gaze upon my Chevy Silverado from Rotolo Chevrolet. It is a magnificent sight to behold, especially on the Ides of March, now that I know what that is. If you've been thinking about getting that Rotolo Chevrolet, if you've been thinking about that Chevy Silverado or any of the Chevy cars or trucks, Rotolo Chevrolet has to be the spot that you go. Here's why. Number one, 13 years in a row of being dealer of the year. Think about it. We were just talking about, you know, Aaron Donald and how many first-team All-Pros and defensive player of the year and all this stuff. And he didn't get it every year, nearly every year, but not every year. Rotolo, 13 years in a row. That's how good they are at making sure that you get exactly what you want and you feel good about it, that you feel good about the price, you feel good about all of it. It's transparent, it's courteous, it's upfront. That's why Rotolo knocks it out of the park year after year after year. So if you've been thinking about that Silverado or any of the other Chevy cars and trucks, get yourself out to Rotolo Chevrolet. It's right off the 210 freeway. It's in Fontana, Sierra Avenue exit. You can't miss it. And tell them that Travis sent you. And if you can't get out there, go online, rotolochevy.com. That's R-O-T-O-L-O, rotolochevy.com. Trust me on this one.
Fourth down attempt for either team tonight. Brady puts his hands to his helmet, calls his alert. Play clock at 8, he's ready. Rams rush 4. Brady bounces. Brady's hit. Brady is sacked! The greatest of all time drops Tom Brady.
Goat on goat crime? Is that what we're looking at right there? Because
really was. Oh, yeah.
Aaron Donald is... I saw Lawrence Taylor. You know, like it's just so hard. And Reggie White for that matter. Yeah. But honestly, I think for me, It's Lawrence Taylor, and just a hair behind is Aaron Donald, and then just a hair behind that is Reggie White. But if you think that Aaron Donald's the greatest defensive player of all time, you're not a crazy person. That is a very legitimate take to have.
The thing that puts me over the top with Lawrence Taylor is you cannot overstate how much football changed specifically because of him.
Yes.
And like, as great as Aaron Donald was, he changed blocking schemes. Like, you know, he changed individual elements within a game if you were preparing to play Aaron Donald.
Right.
Like, you know, again, I tweeted out that video of the entire Miami Dolphins line basically semi-circled around Aaron Donald, but he didn't change the game. Like, Lawrence Taylor changed football.
Aaron Donald is no longer a member of the Rams, no longer a member of the NFL after his announcement earlier this morning. And here's the list of the people that are most pleased by this development. Russell Wilson, who was sacked 15 times by Aaron Donald, mostly as a function of them being in the same division, but 15 times. Kyler Murray, sacked 6.5 times, who had the tweet of the day so far, which was good.
He had one, thank God, and then another one more formally congratulating Aaron Donald and saying, please don't come back.
Shortly after that, believe it or not, only a half sack behind Kyler Murray, is Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford been sacked 6 times by Aaron Donald, and then apparently C.J. Beathard played long enough to get sacked by him 4 times. I'm not kidding. I think they all happened in one game. No. I'm being serious.
Well, how many times could he have played Aaron Donald?
That's what I mean. I remember them beating the Niners very badly, Aaron Donald having a massive day, and C.J. Beathard, I believe, was filling in for Kaepernick at the time, and he got him 4 times in that one game. I think that's how C.J. Beathard
makes
his
appearance. Yeah, it was 4 times in one game against Beathard when he was playing for the 49ers. Yeah. That Beathard was.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember, did the Rams ever play the Jacksonville Jaguars? Because he was with them, too.
I think that was the 49er time. Quick reminder that our first signature event of the year is coming up 8 days from right now. You can join us for 710's Pickleball Madness Tournament, March 23rd, Agape Pickleball Center, Mile Square Park in Fountain Valley. We're going to get it going at 10 o'clock in the morning. We're going to go until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Food, drinks, games, fun zone, and of course, the basketball tournament is going on as well. Plus, you can sign the biggest birthday card in the world for Steve Mason. You can celebrate Mason and Ireland's 20th anniversary on ESPN LA. It is going to be an unbelievable day. So RSVP right now for your seat. Go to ESPNLA.com and click the Pickleball Madness logo. You and your brother Brian will be the team of YouTube component.
We are actually going to practice a little bit this show being over and picking up the children from schools.
Let me ask you a quick question. Why the name YouTube component?
Well, Travis, you may not be aware, but Brian and I co-host the Locked On Lakers podcast.
I am aware.
Available 5 days a week, anywhere you get your podcast, never behind a paywall.
Never.
And there is a YouTube component.
You don't say.
To the show.
It's funny because I, too, host a podcast called Locked On Rams where there's a YouTube component. It's never behind a paywall. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. And today, it's quite a bit of breaking Rams news.
You, sir, are going to be able to retire like Aaron Donald off the traffic of the show about Aaron Donald retiring.
That would be very nice if that were true. I'm gonna put this out there, and then we can come back and kind of get into this a little bit. Jordan Rodriguez, who covers the team for The Athletic, came on with us 20 minutes ago or so. And I asked her, what do you think the chances are that he may come back? And she started talking about how much not only he loves playing football, but he seemed to love every minute of practice. He enjoyed every second of practice. And I think that sentence, that phrase, is exactly why I'm surprised that this is the end of the line for him, that this is something that not only he happened to be extraordinary at and took very seriously and made a ton of money, but that he deeply loved doing, and that he's walking away from it while still able to do it at an incredibly high level. That's a big surprise to me. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.